Word of God is from Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. Verse 8, it says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. So he says first, this first is not what you would use to put in the order of things like first, second, or third, but it is used to say beyond all things. This word is used to imply importance above all things. So first, what's most important, he says, is I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. So Apostle Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. That is thankful for their faith. The reason for his thankfulness is the faith of those whom he is writing to. Our Christian walk, Christian faith, is all about faith. Christianity is all about faith. It does not require man's work, unlike other worldly religions, like in Hinduism or Buddhism. It requires work from people. They demand good works. These religions say that as you live through life, there are many anxieties and worries and difficult circumstances, and there are many complicated things going on in the human heart, as if a stone is thrown into a calm water, there is a tumultuous waves that are scattering throughout the life of a man. And our lives are filled with things that we are fearful of, that we worry about, that we are anxious about. So our hearts are full of these complicated things. So the worldly religions like Buddhism says you must train your heart. It says having a house is important, but go away from your house, go into the wilderness, go into an ascetic setting, and try to calm your heart. Try to train your heart. That's what they teach. So to leave your home and go into the mountain is not an easy thing. But after doing so, it demands that you find answers to your anxieties of life by trying to train your heart. And regardless of how hard you try, that is not something that is possible by a mere man's effort. And in other worldly religions like Confucianism, they tell you that in order to live in harmony with other people around you, you must be careful of what you say or what you do. So all these other worldly religions puts burden on you, burden on the mankind himself. But the religion of faith, there is only one in the world, which is Christianity. Christian faith does not require work from people because God knows that there is sin within us, that there is corruption within us, that there is greed within us. God knows that we are born in sin and death. God knows even if he were to require anything of us, all that will come out of us is a expression of sin residing within us. We try many times to look presentable, try to be decent and patient, but there is a limit to that. And so Apostle Paul, knowing that human nature, cried out, "What a wretched man I am." So Christianity, Christian faith, God knows our nature. He does not demand us a responsible works. So then what is faith? Faith is not something demanded of us. Faith is not something that we can work out, but it is simply receiving the work that has been accomplished by someone else. Christian teaching says that there is someone who has done all the work on your behalf. It says, don't try to find an answer to your life's problem within yourselves, but it teaches that rely upon the absolute God who has provided someone who has accomplished all the work required. It does not demand something of us, something from us to be saved. That regarding our sins, regarding our faults, regarding our corruption, that there is someone who has done the work to cleanse us from our sins. And some people find this too easy. They try to do something of themselves. They try to control their anger on their own, and later on find out even that is not possible on their own. So God does not demand works from us because he knows that we are born in sin and death. He knows that you and I are headed towards our grave. So worldly people think that worldly wisdom will provide an answer to their problems. They may think that wealth and money will provide an answer to their problems. But they encounter the reality that even though they may amass a lot of these things, but death continues to come our way, regardless of the level of our intellect, our wealth, our power, our fame, and how much lies do people tell, how much sacrifices they make, how much illegal things they do to amass themselves much wealth in hopes of finding an answer to their life's problem. So, beloved, there is nothing to be trusted in this world. Even if after spending so much of your resources, so much of your sacrifices to attain the fame you thought would give you an answer to your life's problem, but at the end, you find that none of those things, fame, power, wisdom, and wealth, those things will not be able to give you any lasting peace. And that's what the things of the world are. That's the nature of the things of the world. The more you know, the more you have, the more harm it will do, and at the end, those things will not be able to give you an answer to your problem of sin and death. And these truths revealed in the scriptures are true, and the people, as they live their lives, they come to realize the truths revealed in the scriptures are true, are real. They come to realize as they are born and live on this earth, they are frail, they are limited, they are weak, that they do not even know the date and the time that they would eventually come to an end of your life. But God knows. God spoke to Moses and say, "Go to my people and bring my people out of Egypt because I have heard their cry." And Moses' response to God's calling was that if I go to stand before Pharaoh and say that God, you who is invisible, has called me to rescue my people from the land of Egypt, And he will say, who are you to come and demand and ask to release your people? And God tells him, when they ask you who I am, God tells Moses, says, tell the Pharaoh that I am has called you to rescue my people. I am, he says, who I am. And within that contains all of the truth of who God is, that he is the Redeemer, that he is the Provider, that he is the Creator. God simply states himself as I am, the Jehovah I am, that he is the Creator. He is the one who created you and me, that I am is the Creator, that I am is the Redeemer, that I am is the Provider, that I am is the All in All, that I am is the Creator, the Redeemer, and he is the All in All. So that God became a man and came as a person in the person of Jesus Christ. So faith is simply receiving Jesus Christ into our hearts. It is not based on your will. It is not an act of your will. But biblical faith is based on the coming of Jesus Christ upon your heart. It is based on a reality. So God became a man, that he became you and me, that as he became a man, he had to die, because within every mankind, there is only sin and death. So he became man, and he died on our behalf. He died on your and my behalf. He died, and in 3 days, he rose again. So we see this Jesus at the cross, and we encounter him at the cross, and we must receive him at the cross. That's where we encounter him. That's where we receive Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came here on earth with a physical body. That Jesus Christ we cannot meet and encounter today. But today, he has come to us in spirit, and he desires to come to us in spirit. He desires for us to encounter him in spirit. We cannot encounter Jesus Christ as his disciples did 2,000 years ago physically, but we must receive Jesus Christ in spirit. We encounter him not merely through our knowledge, through our intellect. Beloved, there are many people in the world, such as communists, that they may have read and know about Jesus. They may even be able to say that they have learned that Jesus Christ came and died for our sin. But even if they are able to regurgitate what they have known, but that is not a reality to them. But we must encounter Jesus Christ, not merely through our intellect. Jesus Christ is not one who merely has come in flesh, come in his physical form, but he has come to us in spirit. We must encounter him in spirit. So where do we encounter Jesus Christ in spirit? Do we encounter him at the place where Jesus Christ fed the 5,000? The crowd may have seen him as one who was powerful and mysterious one. When they saw Jesus feeding 5,000, they may have questioned if he was God or man. They may wanted to, and they may have been influenced to worship Jesus Christ. And when they witnessed Jesus Christ raising Lazarus after being dead, and after Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, people surrounding Jesus were in fear. That is, those places are not where you will encounter Jesus Christ. But such powerful God went to the cross, so meek, he went to the cross, All he had to do was speak a word and all of Roman armies would have been wiped out. But he goes to the cross without a word, meek and lowly, and he goes to be crucified on the cross. But that is the place where we can truly encounter Jesus Christ at the cross. That Jesus at the cross, on the cross, many of the worldly people will say that he has nothing to do with them. But when God grants you faith, you are able to see him as you yourself hanging on the cross. The moment you are enabled to believe Jesus on the cross is the point of salvation. It is not a time where you try to die on your own, but you realize when you see Jesus on the cross, that is the moment when you have been crucified on the cross, where your life has been put to an end. That is the true, genuine, eternal gospel, that you must encounter Jesus at the cross. Beloved, our time in this worship hall is important, but what is more important, beloved, is to encounter the person of Jesus Christ in spirit. So don't confuse faith with man's effort to come to know God, but it is the encountering of the person of Jesus Christ in spirit, that you must encounter him in spirit, that you must encounter him in spirit. And I pray for that blessing upon your lives. So the disciples who met Jesus Christ in his flesh, and when they only encounter him in their flesh, they would eventually persecute him like Apostle Paul. But when he encountered Jesus in spirit, then he worshiped Christ. So today, Apostle Paul in his writing says, I do not desire to come to know Jesus in my flesh, because he has been crucified with Christ, and he declares that he is a new creation in Christ. So even in Christian circles, because many churches are corrupt and has fallen, they preach and teach all these things that people must do: to give offering, to pray, to sing, to worship, and to do all these religious activities. And much of the church has turned into gathering of people who are striving and trying hard to do something that they know they cannot do. So, beloved, God absolutely does not require any works from you, but he declares that I have died and rose again, accomplished all the works, and he simply requires and asks of you to believe in what Christ has done. Then what you must do is to pray for God to open your spiritual eyes. Pray that you'll be able to see that when Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, that you have died with cross. You must pray that if Christ's death and resurrection was on your behalf, you must pray that God will grant you the faith to be able to receive what he has done for you. And besides that, beloved, there is nothing else for you to truly pray to God for. But all these other cares of the world, beloved, are things that will take care of itself. God says, first seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be granted unto you. So, Christianity does not begin with you. It does not begin with your diligence. It does not begin with your religious works. It does not begin with you. It does not begin with anything or anything on this earth, but it begins in heaven. It begins from God and has come down to us. So in the Old Testament scriptures, so God showed Moses the heavenly temple of God. And so God gave him the dimensions of the temple, the tabernacle, and Moses eventually built the tabernacle of God. And these, the tabernacle that he built for God, is only a shadow of things to come. And it was only a shadow of things to come in Jesus Christ, who would come here on earth and die and spill his blood on our behalf, that he might save us. So God showed him the tabernacle, and Moses was to build the tabernacle of God. And if you read how they built the tabernacle, and from the human standpoint, you must build the foundation, and you stand the pillars, and then you put the walls, and you put the roof. But the direction that God gave to Moses was to build the roof first, because God was showing him that it comes from heaven down to earth. So God instructed Moses to build the roof first. And from the outside, the tabernacle itself was not attractive, but inside was extravagant. Inside was very attractive. That is the picture of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah, it pictures Jesus Christ as one who was not attractive, that people were not attracted to Jesus Christ. And as Jesus walked on this earth, people heard, and what they saw was one who was born out of a wedlock. They ridiculed him. They accused him, only looking at his externals. But that Jesus is God, and through his death and resurrection, he has freed us from our sin and death. And how can the people of this world truly come to know him? So when Moses built the tabernacle, he built from top down to point to the fact that God himself, Christian faith begins with God from heaven down to the earth. But this world teaches you that it is up to you. You must work. You must lay down the foundation for you to be successful in this world. And what good is all of that works? What good is all of that knowledge? Because at the end, all that is waiting for you is sin. All that is waiting for you is death and hell. So the one who is born of the earth, Adam, fell in sin. So therefore, the second Adam had to come, Jesus Christ. And therefore, our eternal destiny relies upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not on our earthly father Adam. So with what will you find answers to your internal problems of life? So how that is, how precious the gospel of Jesus Christ is, that Jesus Christ came as a man, he died and rose again, and so our redemption was made complete in the works of Jesus Christ. All we are asked to do is to hear the gospel and simply receive and believe without any works. It is good enough for you to believe. If your work is required, then what is the need for faith? If you truly are able to perform the work that is required, there is no need for faith. There is no need to believe. You simply have to work hard at it. In the Christian circles today, because Satan has corrupted the church, the gospel has been corrupted. And the gospel that is preached, that they preach that you must do the work. You must make yourself holy. Even though Jesus has come to call the sinners. And Jesus says that the righteous do not need the Savior, but only a sinner unable to save himself needs Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus says he has come to seek sinners, not the righteous. He knows that people have become gods themselves after eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that desire of mankind has entered into the church. They think that they can be God themselves by doing all these good works, but that is not what the Lord desires. And for such people who pursue their own righteousness, God will have nothing to do with them. He will actually let them be. But He desires and He is looking for people who see themselves as a pair of gloves who need a hand to be fitted into their gloves for them to be able to do anything. That is the kind of person that God is looking for. Beloved, the wealthy of the world, it is extremely difficult to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that is what Jesus says. So, beloved, it is not the man's works. It does not begin here on earth, but it begins with God. It begins with what Jesus has done. And therefore, all that is required of our salvation is faith. And faith comes from hearing. And what? Hearing what? Hearing the word of Christ. The word that explains to us that Jesus has accomplished it all on our behalf. So at first, when you hear this gospel, there may be doubting and questioning. Whether you doubt or question, you must hear the gospel. Satan continues to work to block the reaching of the gospel on the people of the world. But the more the gospel is preached and heard, there is less and less that Satan can do, because Satan is powerless when he stands in front of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when our blindness crumbles away, that is the moment that Jesus Christ enters into us and we become His new creation. And instantaneously there is our response of thanksgiving to God. And that is a thanksgiving that we hear, that we read in verse 8. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world." That is what is what he is most joyful and thankful about, their faith in Jesus Christ. Beloved, faith comes from hearing. Even those who are sinning on the outwardly sense, those who are smoking, drinking, doing all kinds of things that we see as sin externally, do not tell those people to clean up their acts before they come to church, but simply invite them to church and hear the gospel. So this work of salvation is the work of the Spirit. And to the people of the world, the way of the cross seems foolish to the people of the world. They say, "It is foolish to think just because you proclaim that people will come to believe and be saved." So the way of evangelism seems foolish to the people of the world, to simply to state and to proclaim the truth that people may come to believe. This world wants to build the foundation, put up the pillars. But the foolishness of the cross of Jesus Christ is a power of God for the salvation of those who believe. So with such faith, through such faith that the people are saved, that people are redeemed, that people are made one with God, that people are made to be able to be victorious over this world. So through faith, we are victorious against sin and death. And this is, beloved, the purpose, the goal of God creating the universe. And so to have this faith, and that this faith to be reported all over the world, how blessed is that? And that is why he says, first, most importantly, that he is thankful for faith. That as Apostle Paul hears that a church is established in Rome and he's desired to come to them and to see them. This desire, this joy, this thankfulness does not come from a fleshly person, but he has the Spirit of Christ. He has the life of Christ, even though he's never been to Rome and never met any people from Rome. His desire is to go to them, that he might go and meet them and encounter them. This faith that enables us to be one with Christ, this faith that enables us to become sons of God, That faith is the first reason for thankfulness. So Apostle Paul says first, most importantly, that he's thankful for their faith. And some people may say that even after having faith, there is not change, there is nothing incredible happening in my life. It is because they have wrong understanding of faith. They have this intellectual knowledge of faith only. If I have been redeemed, if Christ is in me, if I have become sons of God, then my foremost reason for being thankful is for the faith. Why? It is because thankfulness is the natural response of Jesus Christ coming into our hearts. It is a natural response of salvation. Thankfulness is the natural response of believer, of every genuine believer. Beloved, so in the church, thankfulness is the natural response of all believers. That is the prayers of genuine Christians. It is not about demanding and asking God for the things that they want of this world. Beloved, that's based on my experience. And that is why I keep on telling you, I am so thankful that God has not answered my past prayers prayed in my flesh. And if God was to answer my fleshly prayers, my life will be in tragedy at this point. But I am thankful that he didn't answer all those past fleshly prayers. Prayers coming from my flesh. Prayers coming from my earthly flesh based on eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if all those earthly prayers were answered, it would simply cause me to be condemned to hell. So if you observe Apostle Paul's life, we see that his life was filled with thankfulness. Beloved, it is not something that you should take it as something simple. It is a response that God enables for you to have, which is the attitude of thankfulness. Attitude of thankfulness is the expression of life of Christ in you. And for genuine believers, they are thankful not because of the things of the world, but it is because that Christ is in them. Even if death is at their doorsteps, they are still able to be thankful. Thankful for Christ in them. Thankful for eternal kingdom of God. So what is your reason for thankfulness? Is it for eternal life? Is it really your true reason for thankfulness? Perhaps you're thankful for your kids being accepted into a prestigious university. Perhaps it is for you being able to move into a bigger house. Perhaps it is for your business doing well these days. Thankful perhaps for being able to get married. So beloved, these are false thankfulness. Those are shallow thankfulness. And surrounding that thankfulness is your hidden intention in asking God to give you more of those things. So Apostle Paul, from the perspective of the world, he did not have any reasons to be thankful. He lived a tragic life from the eyes of the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he writes that he was in such a tragic state that he felt that he was at the end of his life. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for the churches. Who is weak? I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. What a tragic life this is. He was in hunger, he was cold, he was naked. If these things were to come to us, we would all probably abandon Jesus Christ. How can you be thankful for these things? These thankfulness are not possible in the person coming from Adam and Eve, but he was a spiritual person. He was of Christ. An earthly man cannot truly be thankful for these things. But only one who is born of Jesus Christ can be thankful for these utterly extreme circumstances. Thankful being in all circumstances. And so where is Apostle Paul? He almost seems like he is out of this world. It almost seems like he is seated at the right hand of God. He transcends the reality of this world. Because he had the life of resurrection, and therefore he is singing the joy of his resurrection life. How can he be thankful in such extreme circumstances? Being hungry, being naked, being cold, the one who was to be adored and worshipped and respected, he was lowered in a basket to escape from the hands that tried to persecute him. He spent day and a half out in the open sea. He faced the dangers of coming from the Gentiles, dangers from his own countrymen, dangers in the city, dangers in the country. So from the worldly point, all that is described here are the reasons to complain about, reasons to run away. But all, despite all these things, that Apostle Paul was thankful because of the great salvation that was given to him and because of the great salvation that he saw in the people of Rome. Again, beloved, you must pray for faith. To pray that God will grant you faith. And do not pray for the power to do miracles. Like someone in the New Testament scripture, to buy the power of God. But pray for faith. Pray that God will reveal you the nature of your life. And as you encounter Jesus Christ, you will realize you are simply on your own, that no one around you can truly save you, no one around you can truly comfort you, but it is only in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is knocking at the door of your hearts. I pray that you would answer the call of God by faith through faith. Truly, Apostle Paul went through these difficult circumstances of life, but he was yet truly be able to be thankful. Unless death and resurrection on the cross becomes a reality, you cannot truly be thankful. It is not achieved by your will, your efforts. It was only possible for Apostle Paul when Jesus Christ revealed himself to him. You, beloved, you cannot kill yourself. You cannot cause the death of yourself, but it is only through Jesus Christ. It is the work of the Spirit. And this thankfulness was expressed in the Old Testament scriptures by offering sacrifices. And all those sacrifices, burnt offering, the grain offering, and various kinds of offerings were a picture of the person of Jesus Christ. When offering burnt offering, everything was completely burned, picturing for us the need for our whole selves to be offered to God. And there are other offerings that were offered to God where only certain parts of the sacrifice was given as sacrifice to God, and others were reserved for the priests. And in peace offering, there was peace offered to them between God and themselves. And as they had peace with God, there was now peace between Jews and the Gentile nations. And in the same way, beloved, when we have peace with God, we have peace with others. The more we are forgiven from God, the more we are able to forgive others around us. If you have been forgiven of little, then you will be forgiving of little. If you have received much of God's love, then you will be able to love much. It is up to God. It is up to God. It is up to how much He gives you. In peace, if you have a deep relationship with God, then you are made enable to be able to forgive and to have relationships that results in peace. And beloved, how blessed it is for us to know that we have been created as earthen vessels to contain this person of Jesus Christ within us. How can God come into such an earthen vessel? What a great news that is. That makes us realize how precious we are to be able to contain the person of Jesus Christ. And if Christ is in us, then all the things of the world becomes so small. That as Christ resides in us, then our lives becomes one that expresses the reality of the person of Jesus Christ within us. And as Christ lives in us, within us, that's what gives the life of a person value. So all of the sacrifices offered in the New Testament scriptures points to the person of Jesus Christ. They were all sacrificial animals. They were all pictures. They were all types. They were all examples that pointed to the reality of person of Jesus Christ. So, beloved, the blood of Christ not only cover the sins of all of us temporarily, like the sacrificial animals would used to do, but the blood of Christ cleanses us permanently from our sins. So because Jesus Christ has become our sacrifice, that there is no more sacrifices required, and therefore all that is remaining is for the entire creation to be thankful, to be praising Him. Open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 100. It is short. Let us read together. It says, Psalm chapter 100, verse 1 to 5. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving about what? It says to enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. If Jesus Christ is residing within your heart, and when that is a true reality, then there would come out from within you thanksgiving and praise. That is what God is pleased with, that He desires, He wants you to come through His gates with thanksgiving and praise. People might be happy to receive monetary giving, but God is pleased with your thanksgiving, with your praises to Him. And that is what this psalmist is singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. So, beloved, do you have the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Do you have the person of Jesus Christ residing within you? Beloved, God is not interested in your works, but He desires to receive only Jesus Christ from you. That is the only thing that will give God joy. And in the same way, beloved, you must realize that our lives are worship to God, not a couple of hours spent here in this room. It is only a picture of what our true worship is. Our true worship is our movement of life as Christ is residing within us in our daily living. In Thessalonians, we are reminded to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Can you really be joyful always? Can you pray continually? Can you really be thankful in all circumstances? These things are not possible on your own, beloved. And these things are only possible when Christ comes within your heart. It says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And only Jesus Christ fulfills God's will. Without faith in trusting Jesus' redemptive work, you cannot have genuine thankfulness, true thankfulness. You cannot have true worship and praise. Beloved, a man is made up of the spirit and the flesh. When we are born, beloved, our spirit is dead, and our flesh comes from the earth, and our flesh seeks for the wealth and the power and the fame of this world. And if you continue to pursue the things of the world, you will become a fleshly man. And that is a result of sin. But if you pursue life according to the Spirit, you will no longer pursue the fleshly things of the world, but you will pursue Christ. An example of that is if you are stricken with serious illness, what does the earthly man seek? They will go to the hospital. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the hospital, but they will go to the hospital, seek for fleshly healing. But to the spiritual person, when they are stricken with a serious disease, they in that time would seek God and encounter the Creator. And so for you to evaluate whether you are right with God or not, see how you respond when difficult circumstances come. A fleshly person cannot have true thankfulness in the midst of difficult circumstances. But the spiritual person, regardless of the stressful circumstances of life, regardless of what diseases may come, They have thankfulness. They have praise. And because they have Jesus Christ within them, because they have the Creator of all things residing within them, they are truly being able to be thankful and praising God. And one thing, beloved, I'm thankful for, perhaps it's because of my old age. After having a long day and I go home and I'm so tired physically and stressed, and I'm thinking, would I be able to get up tomorrow and carry on my schedule tomorrow? But the amazing thing is I get a good night's sleep and I am restored. And that is an example of God's way that He has designed for us to be restored even from our tiredness. And in a spiritual sense, that God desires to come to Him to be restored in Christ when we are going through difficult circumstances. That God, as an example, has created our body to be naturally restored and strengthened overnight after a rest. But we don't trust in that. Even in our physical illness, we seek out medicine, we seek out human intervention. And so, beloved, when our spirit begins to live, instead of relying upon the things of the world, we begin to rely upon God. We begin to look into the Word of God and find answers to our life's problems. And we experience that as we rely upon God, as God is the center of our lives, as Christ is the center of our lives, we experience His restoring, His strengthening in our lives. So simply by faith, simply by trusting, when stress comes, when depression comes, those things are driven away as we trust in Christ, as we live by faith alone. It is not the faith that this world will say it is, but it is in the person of Jesus Christ. And I pray that faith in the person of Christ will become a reality in your life. And as a result, have faith that your lives will be filled with true thankfulness, true praises to God. And so, beloved, faith is like a covering over you that keeps you from the rain. If you have faith, you will not be moved through the troubles of life. Beloved, even if when illnesses come, do not simply run for medical remedy, but first turn to Christ and rely upon God. So, beloved, we must trust and believe in our Creator, in our God. And as we have the person of Christ residing within us, we can truly be thankful. So we see in our verses this morning, we see faith and thanksgiving of Apostle Paul. Faith in the person of Jesus Christ. When that faith comes, our lives will be filled with thanksgiving to God. Because Jesus Christ is living, He promises to live within us eternally. So I encourage you, beloved, to be not afraid of the world, but experience the joy and the thankfulness as you have the person of Christ, as you have the life of Jesus Christ residing within you. So if you are truly filled with the person of Christ, each and every one of us, there is no need for preaching. There is no need for us to do other things but to share and to praise and give thanksgiving for Christ within us. Let us pray. Father, we have looked upon the truth of your word this morning. Even though Apostle Paul, we saw that he was in a dire circumstances, but he encourages us to be joyful, to be thankful, and continuously praying. And just as our forefathers in faith rejoiced, and were thankful. I pray, Lord, that you would grant us faith in Christ, that we might truly encounter Jesus Christ, that he might dwell within us, that we might live being one with Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.